When's the last time you ordered turtle for dinner? Turtle was a typical entree at the finest restaurants 100 years ago. A new book documents our nation's changing tastes and what they say about our culture. It's called 10 Restaurants That Changed America. NPR's Netta Ulubi met the author at one of those restaurants in New York.
The glamour of Gotham might have started at Delmonico's. With its clubby red leather chairs, black and white tile floors, and mahogany panels, it opened in 1837.
You can't have the modern American restaurant without Delmonico's.
Historian Paul Friedman says Delmonico's was not America's first restaurant, but it raised the bar for all the hash houses, oyster cellars, and taverns that were then the only places in the country to sit down and eat.
Delmonico's is the first to have refined offerings, beautiful food, beautiful surroundings, well-mannered waiters, a bit of Paris in New York.
Abraham Lincoln loved Delmonico's potatoes. Mark Twain threw a birthday party there. And when Oscar Wilde ordered the terrapin, that's turtle, he raved about it, Friedman says, in an 1885 essay.
The two greatest sites in America are Yosemite Valley and Delmonico's restaurant.
Friedman picked this and 9 other restaurants with the following criteria. The place had to be exemplary, so lots of other restaurants copied it, or it came to define a category. For example, an Italian place, Mamma Leone's. It closed in 1994, but when it started almost a century earlier, Mamma Leone's was a haunt for Italian immigrants and artists.
Its main customer was Enrico Caruso when it was founded.
Over the years, Mamma Leone's would become a veritable Vesuvius of red sauce-joined clichés.
Flirtatious waiters, lots of entertainment, naked statues, huge portions.
Mamma Leone's was also one of the first theme restaurants with a shtick beyond its food. Friedman's chapter about it is also a mini history of Italian eateries in America. Eating out is how he explores class mobility, the civil rights movement, and women's changing status. Jane Kramer wrote about his social history, 10 Restaurants That Changed America, in this week's New Yorker magazine. She remembers eating at Sylvia's, the famous soul food restaurant in Harlem in the 1960s, and power lunching at the Four Seasons in the 1980s.
He captured the zeitgeist perfectly.
Kramer adored the book, partly because it's so knowing about the conflict between an elite food culture with beautiful dining out options.
And the high-fat, high-salt fast food restaurants to which the majority of Americans go, it sets the person who can read and absorb a book like that far apart from the mainstream.
Kramer would have appreciated more regional and ethnic diversity, so she loved a chapter about the Mandarin in San Francisco and Chinese restaurants, and a look at one national chain. Howard Johnson's.
Hot dogs. And hamburgers.
Which changed how a broad swath of middle-class families dined on the road.
And fried clams to eat.
I can't have fast food restaurants without Howard Johnson's.
About half of the influential restaurants Paul Friedman picked are now out of business. Some recently, like the Four Seasons in New York. Delmonico's almost closed several times. Prohibition nearly killed it.
It declined precipitously. By the First World War, it had horrible things like turkey hash with fried bananas.
The food has since improved.
So this is the lobster Newberg. At the moment, it's garnished with a little asparagus, pea shoots, and lobster mushrooms.
Lobster Newberg was invented here. Executive chef William Oliva says he constantly goes back to the Epicurean cookbook created by an early Delmonico's chef, written in 1894 and containing almost 4,000 recipes.
I look at them all the time. I'll actually take the book out, the Epicurean out, and I'll look at it, and I'll say, okay, is there anything that we can make work today?
Are you ever tempted to make terrapin?
Terrapin, we haven't messed around with.
Turtle, still out. The truth, Oliva says, is he feeds a lot of Wall Street guys who like their steak and booze.
And you know, when we start doing foodie stuff, these guys are a little like, you know, what the heck is this?
His job is to keep this restaurant maybe more profitable than influential. But he says,
hopefully in 175 years from now, somebody will be writing about me.
Netta Ulubi, NPR News.